Hello again. It is Sunday. It is January the 23rd, January the 24th, 2016. I almost told you it was the 23rd. That would have been a god-awful thing to do. Incredibly deceptive and problematical. And in that sort of Heideggerian sense, it would have been an act of concealment. And he wouldn't say a lie, but I'll call it a lie. So I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to say it's January 23rd. I'm not going to conceal. I'd rather disclose. But that being said, and that's my cheap-ass punching bag Heideggerian moment of little knowledge expressed as absolute regret. But that being said, I just got back from Atlanta visiting friends, and and it was good to see them. I hadn't seen them in a long time. You know, they're all as healthy as one could hope in their own way. They're all happy in their own way, and it seems like they're all fulfilled in their own way. And so that was good. So I flew down on Southwest. It wasn't a very long flight, thank God, because I hate to fly. I really hate to fly. The experience of being on the plane and crammed into those seats and essentially just is by itself a kind of dehumanizing experience. And you're constantly in this back and forth battle with a person in front of you over the whole tragedy of the commons. What the fuck? Do I let my chair go back or not? And then there's the knees behind you and the person next to you who decides that they're going to pull off some, you know, Hitlerian, you know, Operation Barbarossa elbow maneuver and fuck you up and take your fucking elbow space. And since I don't want confrontation on those planes, I really don't, because it's a closed-in space. And of the many dangerous things in the world these days, one of the most dangerous is just people. And so being in a plane packed with people is just, you know, it is for me that sort of prelude moment to the zombie apocalypse. So, because I don't believe in the zombie apocalypse. Excuse me. I don't really believe in zombies. They're ridiculous perpetual motion machines that any properly trained biologist would have to just laugh at. But I do believe there are a lot of people with misguided notions concerning reality and a lot of denial. That being said, you know, I hate to fly. So I get to TSA on Friday and I take off my shoes and I take off my belt and I do all the fucking maneuvers of stripping myself and raping myself to prepare myself to be put into the little machine where I stand on the yellow footprints and I'm irradiated and the guy says, step aside because you're wearing khaki pants. I'm going to fucking touch your pocket, but then I'm going to give you a reach around up the crotch zone and give you a grope, but it'll happen fast, Dan. It'll happen really fast, so don't worry about it. Well, the TSA guy said, oh, guys, but you don't need to take off your shoes. You don't need to take off your belt. So I'd already raped myself, and he said I didn't need to do these things. And then he said, well, you know what, sir, that's just the way it is. Okay. So I go to TSA today, and I ask what I believe to be an intelligent question to the TSA guy. I said, do we need to take off our shoes and our belts? I didn't say, do we have to rape ourselves? But I did say, sir, do we have to take off our shoes and our belts in a nice way? And he says, you do understand that's standard policy. And I said, wait a minute. In Indianapolis, I went through a machine, and I didn't have to take off my shoes and my belts and whatnot. And he said, well, I don't know anything about that, sir, and just move along. If he'd had a German accent, if he hadn't been an African American, and in that sense a prescribed victim class, and in that sense not someone we can question of integrity, if it's a white dude and he's doing an authoritarian job, we can always question their integrity, but if it's African American, we need to shut the fuck up. But the race issue is irrelevant here. This is just some kid. He was just some 20-something kid who needed work. And he is simply following orders. And from his perspective, he doesn't see himself as dehumanizing. He doesn't see himself as a part of the fucking problem. He doesn't see himself as sort of pushing forward the agenda of the police state. He's just trying to fucking survive. And he might have kids. And he might have a wife that nags him. Who the fuck knows? So I took off my shoes, I took off my belt. I walked you know, I put all my stuff in the proper little plastic receptacles, and I pulled off my spectacles, and I took my laptop out, and I about faced, and I went into the little tunnel machine, the futuristic scanner, which it looks futuristic, but my God, I just don't trust shit built by the government. So who the fuck knows what those things have done to me since I've gone through those things? But whatever, table that fucking lowest bidder bullshit for now. And then I step out of the machine, and once again, I get that semi-random experience. It doesn't happen every time. It happens about 50 fucking percent of the time. Once again, the little TSA guy, you know, Dan, step aside. It's Atlanta, Dan, and I'm from Bonkit Highway. And this is ATL. Step aside, Dan. Just let go. And he does his little thing of checking my khakis. And then he does the little maneuver up my fucking crotch. And yes, there's that moment where I feel like he's almost cupping my balls. And I have to say, my God, sir, is what I want to say. My God, is it that lonely out there? I'm a fat, middle-aged software engineer. Are things that hard? I'm not gay, so I ain't no bear. And I sure as shit ain't no sugar daddy. There are holes in my underwear. So don't, what the fuck are you groping my fucking balls for? So the long and the short of it, for those of you who know that I had a little run-in with Google last week, so I basically am no longer posting videos. I haven't deleted the account. I still have an account to comment, but I will not be posting any more videos on YouTube, which is really the whole fucking point, pretty much, of YouTube. So I'm not deleting my account. I'm sort of freezing it in a carbonate. Wow. That might have been a Freudian slip, because carbonate you can actually eat through. But anyways, I put it in carbonite, and yes, I'll still comment and reply to comments, and I still have my subscriptions because there are channels I enjoy on YouTube. This isn't like LinkedIn and Twitter, which was just scorched earth. I've given up on them. I will never go back to LinkedIn. I will never go back to Twitter. I know that there are spoof accounts for me on LinkedIn. I know a couple accounts that are basically empty accounts. I don't give a fuck. I literally don't give a fuck. Like, it's not that I'm depressed and I don't give a fuck. There's so many things in my life that I love, especially my 13 nieces and nephews, though sometimes I don't know if they understand it. But I just don't give a fuck about that. So basically, I've made decisions in the last year, like going to burner cell phones, like not keeping a lot of money in my checking account at any given time, but in other things. I've made these decisions because basically they seem fucking rational to me. The decision to stop drinking Diet Coke, the decision to pretty much stop eating all fast food. I haven't completely finished eating all fast food, but pretty much mostly, because there's only one fast food restaurant that exists today that has an above 50% threshold of non-shitty food, and that's the Hardee's. But honestly, even if it is non-shitty, it's still incredibly bad for you. So, and there's Five Guys, and I'll go to them once in a while, but I have a hard time calling that fast food. In some ways, Five Guys is kind of like the new kind of diner. And I will eat out, but for those who read my blog, I have a list at the top of my blog, and it's my things that don't suck list. And as you can notice, the cardinality of the things that don't suck is a relatively finite cardinality. You know, Georg Cantor wouldn't have spent a sleepless night on the cardinality of that set, and there is no magical Hebrew number he would have applied. It is not Aleph null, it is not Aleph one, it is Aleph nothing. That is the things that don't suck list. But I will tell you, if you're ever in any, in like, you know, for example, Loveless Cafe's on there. If you're ever in Nashville, you should go there. The Tamale Place is up there in Indy. Come on. Heidelberg House in Seattle. A wonderful restaurant. I don't know if they're still in business because I don't get back to Seattle that much. And when I'm done with this podcast, you're going to understand that the frequency is about to drop severely. So yeah, I ended my TSA experience being groped, and I had an amazing experience. I actually was on a flight from Atlanta to Indy, and it was actually not full, and I actually had two seats next to me that were empty. I don't know the last the last time that's ever happened to me. I won't tell you that that's a good sign or a bad sign. It was Sunday morning. Who knows? I mean, I do know that the logistic theory at work in airline travel today is very complex. So every once in a while, within the network optimization model, you probably do have a flight from Atlanta to Indy that isn't quite full. As long as the total network is optimized, that doesn't fucking matter. But it was an eerie experience for someone like myself who since, to some extent 2003, but certainly 2008, has been very sensitive to sort of peak oil issues. And so, you know, the airline industry itself is sort of like emblematic of the reality of peak oil. It's kind of that rusty, junky wheel that reminds us of how horrible things are now and really are going to get. And yeah, you can poo-poo this, but you need to look at Ryanair's idea for putting you on fucking bicycle seats. And some of the other fucking ideas of fucking Airbus putting people facing each other in more cramped spaces. So here's the end of my podcast. Here's the conclusion. Here's the part to remember. And in fact, if I wasn't a dick, it would have been the first part, so you could have skipped the rest. I will never voluntarily fly on an airplane again, an airline. Like, for example, my little trip to Atlanta, I'll probably do another trip like that in the spring. But instead of flying, I'm going to drive. And in that case, it's not so bad, because when you think about all the hours wasted, not just on the plane, but fucking getting yourself psychologically ready to go through TSA, and then the hour you need to decompress from that horrific fucking fascist experience, in truth, all that adds up to, like, you know, a couple hours, 3 hours. You add on the hour and a half to Atlanta, and it's really just a question of doubling your time. So I think I'm going to drive to Atlanta in the spring with my brother probably, and we're going to have a good time, and we'll visit our friends, and then we'll come home, and it's all good. But I got family in Seattle as well, and that's where it gets more difficult. And here's what I'm going to do. I have a car. I didn't really buy it. I got a zero interest loan for showing up at Toyota about 3 weeks after I got off the Amtrak ride train, which if you've watched that video, you get I was literally the hobo, and I took my offer letter in, and I could have had a guy a fake number. It was a real offer letter. I got a real job. I mean, I guess within my field, there is relatively low unemployment, but don't think for a fucking moment that makes me feel good. Because I've got a fucking soul, and I look around and I don't say to myself, oh, I'm so fucking lucky, I don't know why other people aren't happy. I'm not like Krugman. I'm not a fucking dick. I don't think people should be sad all the time. I also don't think there's any reason for you to walk around as if there are no problems. And I'm not going to pretend there aren't poor people. I'm not going to pretend that there aren't middle-class people struggling. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be an asshole. If you're looking for an asshole, that's another blog. That's not me. I sometimes can be a dick. And sometimes I can be incredibly short. And sometimes I interrupt people. And sometimes I say some crazy-ass shit. That's all true. And sometimes I get angry and hateful, and at least I try to identify it as such. And hopefully, I never really end up uploading those podcasts. And hopefully, in the end, the little byte for private on WordPress, I usually flip that byte for private to true. Because, yes, I get angry and I get hateful, but that's not a good reason to just let it out there. You know, the blog isn't about me just yelling at the world. I'm trying to reason with it. So, yes, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But this thing about flying, I'm done with it. Now, when I say I'm done with it, I know that if a guy came to my door with a gun and pointed it at my head and said, Dan, you have to go fly, I know I would have a decision to make. So when I say I'm done with it, I'm not talking in extremis. I'm not saying that I will never fly in an airplane ever, ever again. Also, If I could get onto an airplane that didn't feel horrible and didn't feel all cramped and, you know, claustrophobic and I didn't have to go through TSA, I might reconsider this decision. But I really don't honestly know, and I really fucking don't see things going that direction. I'm sorry, but I really don't see the TSA ever fucking going away. Whether Hillary gets elected or Trump gets elected or Jeb Bush gets elected, it doesn't fucking matter. The TSA will be here until Rome burns. So I'm not going to fly voluntarily, but if someone does coerce me into flying, you know, with force, I will have to make a decision. And here's the other thing. If I have to fly for business, I will probably fly. What I'm really saying is that I will not voluntarily buy a ticket to go fly any fucking place ever again. Not unless there's some earth-shattering change in the way that the TSA functions, which means that it disappears, it goes away. You know, but that's never going to fucking happen. I'm not going to let myself get raped, and I'm not going to rape myself. I'm not going to choose to fucking psychologically, spiritually, in a fucking liberty existential sense, rape myself. And if you want to fucking go and get yourself raped and step in the lowest bidding radiation machine and get a little groat from the TSA guy, if that makes you feel better, if that rocks your world, I love it. It's a beautiful planet. You go, do it. I'm not going to. But like I said, I will be driving my car. I will probably drive it because I don't think cheap oil is going to last much more than a year or two. So over the next year or two, if you like to drive, you should fucking load up on gasoline because this shit will not last. And when that next spike hits, it's going to fucking feel like a punch in the face. So anywho, yeah, assuming World War III doesn't break out first. But anywho, so yeah, I'll visit Atlanta in the car, and I intend to visit Washington State by car. It's going to mean a longer trip and probably, again, maybe coercing my brother into going, and maybe we'll have to take one of our nieces and nephews with us. But you know what? They might want to go in the summertime on a visit to on an adventure. And I got to tell you this too. I shouldn't say I used to enjoy. I've only driven cross country like 4 or 5 times. But I got to tell you, driving across this country can be an enjoyable experience. It can almost be cathartic. Because we can get so caught up in our little fucking worlds, especially these stupidly narrow internet worlds. So you know something? This decision isn't about closing a door as much as it's about opening another one. I simply can't afford to have both open. Now, I do have a quandary. Technically, Southwest has like $200 or $300 of my money because I ended up canceling a flight. And what I'll probably do is I'll tell my family members that this money is there, and they can say, well, you know, well, we'll take it, Dan. You could will it to us. I don't know if that works that way, but we'll see. Actually, I got a friend in Nashville, and maybe that would be a way of coercing him here. I'd say, hey, dude, hey, Nashville friend, I've got some bucks on Southwest, and I'll buy you a fucking ticket. A fucking round trip ticket, maybe. But I'm never going to spend my own money to experience the horror of my life, which is to see my liberty go down the drain and to know how incredibly stupid I was in my 20s to serve my country, to believe I was defending the Bill of Rights. I'm not going to have my naive stupidity rubbed in my face any longer. I'm not going to fucking have my naive stupidity post 9/11 be rubbed in my face. I simply am not going to let myself be groped or to go through those machines or to be socially engineered into believing that any of this stuff is improving safety or security. I know there are people who believe it is, that it's improving our safety, that it's improving our security. I know you believe this. And as Benjamin Franklin said, you know, if you believe this, then you really will have neither freedom nor security. And your situation, and again, I'm paraphrasing Benjamin Franklin, but if Benjamin Franklin traveled through time and he saw this fucked up shit we're doing with the TSA, he would say, what the fuck? I told you that community should come together for things like the mail, because the mail is something that is socially fucking advantageous, and intelligent people will voluntarily come up with schemes to fucking have mail. And Benjamin Franklin would say, I told you, community should come together for fire departments because they're socially advantageous things. And you don't need to point a gun at a person's head and say, pay money to have a fire department. Fire departments are things that are good to have. And I think Benjamin Franklin would look at the fucking TSA almost like the fucking Iron Eyes Cody in that stupid 1970s commercial sitting in that stupid fucking canoe. You know, that Sicilian who wasn't Native American. I think almost Benjamin Franklin would be in his own proverbial canoe looking at the fucking TSA line and a tear would go down his fucking face. And most Americans simply don't give a fuck. And here's the deal. I don't give a fuck because I got things in my life that I do give a fuck about. So I can say I don't give a fuck about flying because I literally have dropped it off my list of things I either want to do or desire to do, unless, of course, the world goes through some radical technological change. But I think that Americans are beginning to say I don't give a fuck because they're psychologically becoming unhinged, because their paradigm that they've clung to, and that's truly the bitter clingers. The bitter clingers are not the gun owners. They're not. The bitter clingers are the fucking Democrats and Republicans who are holding on to this notion that voting for some motherfucker is going to change shit, and it won't. And you're a moron for believing this. And like with Carlin, I'll tell you, you're to blame for the fucking situation. But keep fucking doing that stupid shit, because for me, it simply speeds up the inevitable. So I say to people, you're voting for Trump, God bless you, do this. And I say to people, you're voting for Hillary Clinton, God bless you, vote for Clinton twice. Because either one of those motherfuckers would basically hasten the end. And I say to people, oh, you support Ted Cruz, or you support Jeb Bush, or you support Bernie Sanders. And I say to people, listen, you should do that. Not because I actually like these people, but because they are quite literally the hydrofluoric, super fucking alien movie acid that's going to fucking destroy what's left of their scheme. They are literally a poison pill. So, yeah, I actually kind of think, you know what, I am going to vote libertarian, but I kind of hope people do mostly vote for these crazy, evil, sociopathic fucks, because it will simply hasten the end. And that doesn't mean the end of the world, but what it hopefully means is the end of the stupid fucking paradigm, so that we can pick ourselves up and rebuild ourselves, and we can have airline travel that doesn't involve being fucking groped or treated like a piece of shit, and we can begin to treat our soldiers not like little mercenaries we can pummel against the walls of hate, but instead treat our soldiers with honor and not just send them around the world murdering people all the time. When that beautiful day comes, when Americans begin to remember their hearts and their souls and that they cared for each other not because of guns and bullets, but because caring for each other is a socially advantageous thing to do. Not something you have to do because a gun's pointed at your head. I believe in a free society, so I'd never want somebody to like me because they have to. That's the most useless kind of friendship a fucking person can have. But if you care for a person not because you're compelled but out of choice, sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. But it's a socially advantageous thing to do.